lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Last week we began a study from the story of Joseph and exploring how God made these wonderful dreams come true in the life of Joseph. It really is a signature theme of the Bible that God helps His children in order to make their dreams come true. God brings us through the trials and the difficult times of pain and sadness that we go through in order to make His dreams for us come true. When Joseph was a young man, he had these dreams about a great ministry for his family. He didn't really know all of the specifics about how it was going to work out, but he knew that God had planned something better for his life than the hard times that he was going through. As I mentioned last week, my buddy Nate says that God gives us dreams and the devil gives us nightmares. And in Joseph's life, it's certainly true that God gave him this wonderful dream. Now, in the process of fulfilling that dream, Joseph went through a series of nightmares and some painful and difficult times. But even in all of that, he found this hope that he was going to get through this because God had planned something for him, and he believed that God would see him through that time. And so he experienced some of the toughest tests that life can throw at you. As we studied last week, he endured hatefulness from his brothers. He endured an attempt to kill him. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely imprisoned, and his kindness was forgotten. And when we left our study last week, he was enduring two long years in an Egyptian prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And you can't help but wonder if he's sitting there in that prison thinking, how is this the fulfillment of my dream? How does this Egyptian prison factor in to the dream that God has for me? And lots of times we feel the same way going through the trials that we face. God's dream for us is our salvation. His dream for us is a home in heaven. His dream for us is to have a blessed life with Him. But sometimes we go through these periods of pain and sadness and we wonder, God, how is this a part of your dream for me? And am I really going to be able to see this dream as I go through these things? Through faith, Joseph refused to allow his dream to die. And we have to find the faith to do the same ourselves. We have dreams for our faith, our ministry, our marriage, our children, and we can't give up on those dreams. We have to continue to trust God to bring us through to that fulfillment. Joseph's life displays how God can make those dreams come true. And so we want to continue that study today and see the fulfillment of it in Joseph's life. So, as I mentioned, when we left our study last week, Joseph was in this Egyptian prison. And a baker and a butler had come from Pharaoh's court. And while they were in prison, they each had dreams, and Joseph interpreted these dreams for them. The butler's dream was that in 3 days, he would be restored to his place by Pharaoh's side. And Joseph begged him, please, when you go before Pharaoh, tell him my story and see if you can get him to help me. But the Bible tells us that for 2 years, the butler went back to Pharaoh and did not remember Joseph. Genesis 41:1 says, though, it came to pass that at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Verse 9 says that the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. the king, Pharaoh, had these odd dreams. He saw these fat cows coming up out of the river. But then, after that, seven skinny cows came out of the river, and they overcame and consumed the fat cows. Then he saw seven fat heads of grain spring up. But then these seven skinny heads of grain came up later and overcame the seven full heads of grain. And so Pharaoh didn't know what this meant. No one in Pharaoh's court could tell him what it meant. And then the butler finally remembers what Joseph had done and suggests that Pharaoh call for Joseph and bring him to interpret his dream. He seems to have some remorse and guilt that he hasn't done this sooner. But nonetheless, things are happening according to the way that God wanted them to. So the guards escorted Joseph from his prison cell. They probably had to clean him up a little bit so that Pharaoh wouldn't be turned off by his grungy appearance that he was forced to keep while he was in the prison. Genesis 41:14 says that Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. The Egyptian people didn't wear beards in that day, and the Hebrews did, so Joseph had to be shaved and cleaned up to come stand before Pharaoh. Joseph went before Pharaoh and interpreted his dreams. In Genesis 41:16, Joseph said, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Now that was a bold statement for Joseph, because he's standing in the court of the Egyptians. They don't worship Jehovah God. They have their Egyptian gods that they worship. But Joseph was careful to give Jehovah God the credit for this turn of events that's taking place. And it's amazing to me that in spite of all of the bad things that have happened to Joseph, Joseph hasn't forgotten God. He doesn't blame God for the terrible things that have happened to him. He still stands there as a bold, courageous defender of his faith. And I love that. I want to be more like that. This really wasn't a convenient time to bring up Jehovah God, but Joseph knew who the real dream maker and dream fulfiller was. And this dream that Pharaoh had was to warn him about an upcoming food storage. Joseph explains in Genesis 41:29, "Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after that, there would be 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine would be more severe than the 7 years of plenty." Not only did Joseph tell Pharaoh what the dream meant, but he also told Pharaoh what he should do about it. Genesis 41:33, he said, "Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years." What an amazing turn of events. This is something that only God could produce. Here you have a man who for the last few years in his life has been a slave and a prisoner. But now he is standing before the most powerful man in the world and advising him what to do in the coming food crisis. Only God could have elevated Joseph in this way. And Pharaoh could see the same spark in Joseph that had shined at Potiphar's house and in the prison. He was impressed, and he was convinced that Joseph was the man for the job. So Joseph would be in charge of storing up food during the years of plenty. One-fifth would be saved and collected in order to sustain the nation through the 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh released Joseph and put him in charge. Genesis 41:39 says that Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." So here Joseph goes from a discarded prisoner to a feared and respected commander. The Bible says that Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen, and he put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. 13 years before this, Joseph's brothers had stripped him of his special robe and caused him to become a slave. Now Pharaoh gave him a robe, a royal robe. He put a signet ring on his hand and a gold chain around his neck. These are symbols of Joseph's authority. He's second in command in Egypt, which means he can order anyone to do whatever he wishes. Joseph was given his own chariot with men going before him, commanding them to bow down to him. One can't help but wonder whether or not Joseph had the driver of that chariot go by Potiphar's house and have Potiphar and his wife bow down to him. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that, but one can't help but wonder anyway. Finally, I believe that Joseph can see his dreams beginning to come true right before his eyes. As the people of Egypt bow down to him, perhaps this is the path toward which he will serve his family. His 13 years of agony were now over. And the beautiful thing about Joseph's life is how all of the tragedy and the pain and the suffering that he went through, all of it brought him closer to the Lord. We all on this earth go through these kinds of times where we face sickness, cancer, disease, poverty, depression, anxiety. All of us have our battle that we have to fight in this life. This is all a product of the fact that we don't live in the Garden of Eden anymore. The garden that God prepared for Adam and Eve didn't have any of these problems that we have today. But now, because of the sin of man, we have to deal with this. We will deal with this until we inherit that home in heaven where none of these things exist. So, as we go through these trying times, they will either draw us closer to the Lord as we put our trust in Him and we look to Him for the help that we need, or they'll drive us further away if we become angry and bitter and blame God for our problems. And I don't make light of this challenge because it's a difficult decision for all of us. So I need examples like that of Joseph, who, instead of allowing his trials to push him away from the Lord, he allowed them to draw him closer to the Lord. And instead of them causing him to become bitter, they caused him to become stronger. Joseph praised the Lord for helping him survive the years of his affliction and bringing him to a place of peace and safety. After he was put in command in Pharaoh's palace, and he had an opportunity to marry, and then he had an opportunity to have children. He had two sons. Genesis 41:51 tells us that Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." God's grace had wiped the pain and bad memories of the past away and made a new beginning in Joseph's life. So he named his first son Manasseh, which means forgetting. And he named his second son Ephraim, which means twice fruitful. Joseph didn't forget his family or the events that had occurred, but he did forget the pain and suffering that they had caused. He realized that God meant it for good, that God had a plan, and God was using Joseph to save and preserve a nation and save and preserve his family. And looking at the past from that perspective, he became victorious over these bad memories and bitterness. I pray for us all the opportunity to do the same thing, to focus on the fruitfulness of the present instead of the painfulness of the past. So now that Joseph is in this position, things began to really unfold before him. And the famine eventually brought Joseph's brothers to Egypt, looking for food. And that set the stage for Joseph's dreams to be fulfilled. In Genesis 42:1, Jacob saw that there was no grain in the land of Canaan, but there was grain in Egypt. So Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" Verse 6 says that Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold all the people to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Here was the fulfillment of those dreams. Joseph, when he was a young man, had seen dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. He didn't know what that meant. Now he knows. They come bowing down to him because they need his help. They're going to starve to death unless he will provide them with food. And Genesis 42:9 says that Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. But when the brothers first saw Joseph, they didn't recognize him, which is not really that surprising. He was only 17 years old when they sold him, and now 20 years have passed, so he's changed quite a bit in that time. And furthermore, he's now clean-shaven and looks like an Egyptian, dressed in Egyptian clothes and speaking the Egyptian language. All of that was unfamiliar to them as well. When the 10 men bowed before Joseph, Joseph knew that God had been faithful in doing what he had said he would do. But he didn't reveal himself to them immediately. He wanted to see if their hearts had changed and bring about repentance and confession. He wanted to make sure that he was able to bring the entire family to Egypt as well. The Bible tells us that Joseph wept when he witnessed the change in their attitudes. Genesis 42:21 says, "Then they said to one another, 'We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore this distress has come upon us.' And Reuben answered them, saying, 'Did I not speak to you, saying, "Do not sin against the boy"? And you would not listen. And therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us.' But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter." It's amazing to me that Joseph's heart was still so sensitive after he had suffered so much. It has to be a product of God's grace. Somehow he maintained that tender heart in spite of all that he had been through. Joseph had been in Egypt, but Egypt was not in Joseph. His faith is a testament to that fact. When Joseph did see them, instead of pounding his fists in anger and seeking revenge, he wept tears of love and mercy. Genesis 45:1 says that Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. This simple statement, "I am Joseph," must have exploded like a thunderclap in the ears of of his brothers. What will Joseph do? But Joseph lovingly invited them to draw near. Come close. That was something Egyptians didn't do with Hebrews. But he didn't send them away in rage or send them to be executed, even though he had it in the power of his hand to do that. He's second command in Egypt. He can do whatever he wants to do. Instead of eyes of rage, those brothers saw eyes filled with tears of love and forgiveness. Not the slightest hint in Joseph's life of any desire for revenge for the wrong that his brothers had done to him. Genesis 45:5, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Oh, he could have carried a grudge in his heart, but a grudge in a person used by God is like weeds in a lovely garden or germs in a healthy body. It doesn't belong there. When you hold a grudge, you just allow the pain of the past to continue to have power over you. The only way to heal and move forward is to forgive. What a tragedy when people remember the painful things that have happened to them and all their lives carry that bitterness. It robs them of peace and happiness and joy. Just as Joseph laid aside those prison clothes and made a new beginning, we frequently need to take off the old hurts and put on a new attitude of faith and love. Joseph could see that God had sent him before his family to preserve his family. God had positioned Joseph to rescue Abraham's descendants from famine and to keep the promise of the Savior alive. God had promised that through Abraham's descendants, he would bring the Savior into the world, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Without Joseph, that promise might have died in that 7 years of famine. But now, because of Joseph and what he has done, God will keep that promise alive. Genesis 45:7 says, "God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." What a wonderful message. God sent Joseph to Egypt so that Jacob's family could be preserved and ultimately give us the Word of God and the Savior of the world. Yes, they had done wrong and they were guilty, Joseph's brothers, but he told them not to dwell on their sins, but on what God had done for them all. God overruled the brothers' hateful attitude and cruel actions and worked it all out for good. His brothers were responsible for Joseph's sufferings, but God used them to accomplish his divine purpose. Joseph saved thousands of lives and souls by storing up food during those 7 years of plenty. He not only restrained his desire for revenge, but even taking it a step further, he sought goodwill for his brothers, in spite of the way that they treated him. In Genesis 45:11, he said, "Therefore I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine." Joseph displayed the qualities of love, mercy, and grace. He promised to protect his family and provide for them. This news might have seemed too good to be true for the brothers, but it was true in every way. And if Joseph is capable of this kind of love, mercy, and grace, then we can trust that Jesus is capable of infinitely more. What Joseph did for his brothers, Jesus has done for us. We sold Jesus into slavery. Was our sin that caused him to suffer and eventually to suffer death on the cross. It would have been easy for him to become bitter against us in light of all that he suffered, but he didn't. even while he is in the midst of it, being spit upon and beaten and crucified. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Ephesians 2 tells us that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. On a grander scale, Jesus has done for us what Joseph did for his family. And that may seem too good to be true. It did for Joseph's brothers. Later on, after their father died, they were afraid that maybe now that their father was out of the picture, Joseph would seek revenge against them. In Genesis 50 and verse 15, the Bible says that Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, and they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please, forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when he spoke to them. His brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are now your servants.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Joseph's dreams were about saving his family, not condemning his family. They found it impossible to believe that Joseph could really forgive someone that much. You may feel the same way about Jesus. You may doubt whether or not he could really forgive you. Don't do that. I promise you, just as Joseph forgave his brothers, God will forgive us. For a while, it seemed that hatred and slavery and prison would ruin God's dream for Joseph, but in the end, these were the means that God used to cause his dreams to come true. The greatest victory of all was the one won in the heart of Joseph. Hatred could not overcome the love in his heart, and tragedy could not overcome his faith. God has a dream for you, a life of faithfulness and an eternity with him. And you may be facing something right now that makes this dream seem impossible. But in reality, God can use whatever it is to bring that dream to reality.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.